Now, I came across a book recently. I haven't read it in its entirety, but I intend to, and it's pretty harrowing stuff, I have to tell you, first of all. It's called The Girl in the Tunnel, and it's a memoir by Carlow woman Maureen Sullivan, and it tells of Maureen's awful experiences in the Magdalen laundries here in Ireland in the 1960s. Now, when you hear Magdalen laundries, you probably think automatically of young women who got pregnant outside of marriage and were packed off to the Magdalen laundries. But Maureen's story is very different, because what happened, Maureen, was that her father died when she was very young, her mother remarried, and she was being routinely sexually abused by her stepfather. And when Maureen blew the whistle on this and confided in a teacher at school, instead of her life getting better, her life took a turn for the worse. And you couldn't imagine how it could get any worse. But she was packed off to a Magdalen laundry at the age of 12. And she spent many, many years working in various laundries and industrial schools around the country after that, where she endured some pretty horrific beatings by the nuns at the time. Now, she has gone on to become a great advocate for the rights of Magdalen laundry survivors. And as part of her own, I suppose, rehabilitation from such an awful start in life, Maureen has written her memoir, which is called The Girl in the Tunnel. Now, the reference to the tunnel is the fact that when inspectors came to meet with the nuns and look around the Magdalen laundries, they used to make her hide in a tunnel underneath the laundry, because number one, she was too young to be in the laundry in the first place, she was only 12, and number two, she was so emaciated looking from being neglected and beaten and half starved that they didn't want the inspectors to see her. So that's where the title of the book comes from. She's a really lovely lady and has a fascinating, if difficult, story to tell. I spoke to her earlier, and at the outset I asked her if she got a great sense of achievement now that she's put her story into a book.
Yes, I think it would be a sense of relief, because I'll tell you the reason why, and the reason why I did it is because I like never get my papers and everything to prove that I was there, and the way that they denied everything. So it is a relief that it's out there. It's my history. I have all the proof of everything in the book, because there's one thing I wanted to make sure of, that every word in the book was true, and that no, because let me tell you, my experience is, and I've been talking to other people, I mean, we're adults now, we're grown women, but when you're an abused child, you're always put down as a liar. In this country anyway, that's why I can only speak for this country. And I think that's awful sad that any little child that goes to say that such a horrific thing is happening to them is branded as a liar. And I thought, when I get the proof of everything, I'm going to do my book. I'm going to leave my history behind.
And Maureen, you're one of the youngest survivors of a Magdalen laundry.
So yes.
What decade was it that you were in the Magdalen laundry?
I went to the Magdalen laundry at the age of 12 in 1964. I went there in September of 64. So I was only gone 12 in August.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people will be shocked that this kind of thing was still going on in the 1960s, when we were in Ireland becoming a little bit more sophisticated, you'd imagine.
Yeah, and I've been told, and research, people have done research into the Magdalen laundries, and I wasn't the only child that went in that was sexually abused. And we found this out off of the nun in just about, say, 8-10 years ago. I never knew why they took my education from me. I never knew why they treated me so cruelly and why they changed my name. I mean, they took everything from me, the love of my grandmother, the care of my two brothers. Then when I was released eventually, because my feet were sore, that's how I got out, and I asked to be paid wages, and I was put on the train to Carlow. But that's the reason when I got out, then I was left homeless. So my whole life was destroyed in every aspect of, I told the teacher at school what was happening to me. She was very clever. She was way ahead of her time. She knew to look at me that I was kind of not communicating, not wanting to play with the other children, that I was distant and I didn't want to talk to anybody, and I was very unhappy and I looked very neglect looking. She noticed that my clothes and everything wasn't, that I wasn't being taken care of. And when she approached me with the lovely Black Magic chocolates and everything, because we come from a very poor background, and I trusted her and I told her that what was happening to me in the home. I explained it to the best way I could. I didn't understand any of it at that age. And especially back then, at 12, you'd be like, say, a 7 or an 8 year old now. Because we had no televisions, no radios or nothing in them days. So we were very, very innocent. And I tried to explain to her the best way that I could. And then a parish priest decided that I'd be taken to New Ross. And then after 2 years from hard labour, being treated very cruelly, and then I was trafficked to another laundry in a Thai, but it was on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
And then I was trafficked to the blind school in Dublin.
And Maureen, can I just take you back to the title of the book? It's called The Girl in the Tunnel. Where does that come from? Tell us where how you decided on that title.
When I was, when the men, I don't know who the men were, I'm going to be honest with you. There's some people have done research and they said it would have been the inspectors. But then other people have done research, said that inspectors wouldn't go into them places all that often. So when I'd say that some of the people that came in would have been owners of hotels or big restaurants, because we used to get a load of tablecloths and everything in, and they came in to make sure that they had the, you know, the facilities to carry out the work. And I'd say maybe once or twice there were inspectors, but I was always taken away, hid in the tunnel. Anytime anybody came in of any importance, I was hid in the tunnel. So that's why I decided to call it The Girl in the Tunnel.
And why did they hide you away, Maureen?
I found out after. First of all, I would have been too young to be in a Magdalen laundry, and they would have asked why was I there, what was the reasons for me being there. So there was a lot of questions that were unanswered, a lot of stuff that I needed to know. So I decided to write a letter to one of the nuns in the Good Shepherd Convent, and she agreed to meet me, so we met in Kilkenny. And I brought my boss with me, because I needed a witness. And I just asked her, why did you treat me so badly? Why did you change my name? Well, she says, we done that for all the women so that you wouldn't be ashamed on the outside. No, they didn't. They changed our name so none of us could ever contact each other. Or we could never say to anybody that we knew such and such a person.
Yeah, and what did they call you in the laundry?
Francis.
Francis.
My name was changed to Francis, yeah.
So my God.
Asked her, why did you take my education from me? I said, I didn't deserve that. It was a rotten hand to treat any child in that manner. And she said, we couldn't have you playing with the other children. And my boss looked at her. He said, why? He said, she was an abused child. We couldn't have her playing with the other children in case that she might tell what happened to her at home. Now, that was heartbreaking. That was...
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. That was just so soul-destroying. It really, really was. But at least I got the truth. That the truth came out.
Yeah.
I could never understand why they were so cruel.
And how you ended up in the Magdalen Laundry, of course, was... And you referenced this already, that you eventually told a teacher about your stepfather sexually abusing you.
Yes.
What became of him, Maureen? Is he still alive or...?
No, he's dead 30-odd years now. Nothing became of him. He was left in the home to carry on. And I know he carried on abusing others, but I can't say that. That's not my story.
Yeah.
But I know it for a fact that he did.
He was never,
nothing happened to him.
He was never brought to justice for what he did to you?
No.
Yeah.
Never brought to justice.
Oh, my God.
And that's so unjust as well. And I mean, to hand anybody out all that abuse was so cruel. So I decided to do my book. I said, I'm not going to leave this planet. I mean, I'm 70 now. Yeah. And I said, I'm not going to leave here. I'm going to leave my story behind. Mm-hmm. That nobody can twist it or turn it or put it in a way that suits them or cover up or anything else. So it's just, it was so important that I done this book.
And Maureen, was it very hard writing it all down? Because in a way, I suppose you were dragging up painful memories and reliving it all over again in a way. Was that hard?
It sure was. It was very painful. It was very, very difficult to do. But I was very lucky. Lisa McNamara, the lady, the ghostwriter that done it, she was a very beautiful, strong, caring person. Lovely woman. And we'd take big breaks. I mean, she had to take them as well because she was very upset about things that I was telling her. And she'd have to go away and have a break and then she'd come back on to it. So that's why the book took such a long time to do. And plus, I couldn't get my registration, where I was registered into the blind school, and I got that by complete accident. They always denied that I was there. And it was sent out, a journalist rang up that was involved in the book, and he said we're just inquiring about Maureen Sullivan, but would have been under the name Frances Sullivan. She would have been registered in. No, she was never here. So they sent out an email by complete accident. Maureen Sullivan is looking for her registration in here again, but she was only here for 8 months.
So they admitted it, that you were there?
Yeah. I mean, I never said to them how long I was there or how long I wanted to know. I just wanted my papers to say that I was there. That's all.
You're listening to Maureen Sullivan, who's been telling us a horrific story about her early years in Magdalen Laundries and how she came to be in one in the first place. It's all included in her book called The Girl in the Tunnel. We'll hear a little bit more from Maureen after this break. Welcome back to the programme. We've been hearing the story of Maureen Sullivan from Carlo. She's just written a book, a memoir about her early life called The Girl in the Tunnel. And in this second part of the interview, I began by asking her how old was she when she finally got out of the laundry, the Magdalen laundry, got out of the blind school and finally got some freedom?
I was 16. Mm. I got out of the blind school, which wasn't the Magdalen laundry, but the blind school for blind. So,
yeah.
And I used to take their washing down to the washroom. Sometimes I'd help out in I cleaned their dormitories. I found them lovely people. Very kind people, so I liked there, actually. I felt kind of a little bit happy in it because I wasn't being treated so badly.
Mm.
And I wasn't up at 6 o'clock in the morning scrubbing corridors. We got up, I said, about 8. We go to mass and then we come back, we start work, say about 8:30, 9 o'clock. And we work maybe up to 7 in the evening. But we didn't do rosary beads or the iron sweaters like we did in the Magdalen laundries.
Yeah. So you were treated a bit better.
A bit better.
When you came out of the blind school then, of working in the blind school, how did life treat you after that, Maureen? Did life take a turn for the better? I hope it did.
Well, it didn't in one way and it didn't in another way. I suppose the reason why I got out, my mother noticed I was limping, and it was the only place that our visits wasn't supervised. And the two of us was looking in shock that there was none in the room listening to what we had to say.
Yeah.
So my mother said, "You're blimping." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "My shoes are too small for me." And she said, "You should be earning money now." And she said, "Maybe you should say it to the Reverend Mother." And I said, "Well, I will. Do you think it'd be okay to say it?" And she said, "Yes, yeah, say that I asked you to have a word and that I said you should be getting paid now." So when my mother left, I went to the Reverend Mother and told her I was out of there the next morning. Put on a train to Carlow. No home. I couldn't go back to my home. I was left homeless. So life wasn't all that good. I went out to stay at my poor grandmother's house. She was so poor, bless her. So I slept on her floor. I got a job in the White Star Laundry in Carlow. I worked there for a little while. They were very good to me. They were fascinated how great I was able to work at their calendar. Sure, I'd done it for so many years. And then I left and I said, "No," I said, "I'm heading out of here." I could not, just couldn't handle Ireland. I couldn't handle the pain and everything that I suffered here. So I said, "I'd go to England."
Mm-hmm. How did you get on in England?
Well, it was very tough because we didn't have big money to pay for rooms and everything else. So we slept in parks and slept in doorways. And then somebody advised us to go to the Irish Centre. So we went to the Irish Centre in Camden Town and they helped us to get a room. Then I got a job in Woolworths in Oxford Street, worked there for a little while. And then I was very run down. And of course, they noticed that I wasn't keeping myself up to standard, I suppose, for their shop, which I understand. And I didn't blame them, so I was let go. And then I came back home, and then I went back to England. And the second time I went back, I was able to make a better go of things.
Yeah. And did you ever marry or have kids yourself, Maureen?
I did. I was married twice. I have my daughter from my first marriage and my son from my second marriage. Both of my husbands are dead. And no, they didn't know. I never told them. It was something that we were always ashamed of. We never spoke about it. I came home to Ireland in 1965 and things were starting to break. Like the Christine Buckley started speaking out and a few others up in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And I rang my friends in England and they rang me. And that was the first time that in all the years we knew each other, we never told each other that we were in them places until then. And then my friends would say, well, I was there and I was here and...
Yeah.
And so, you know, all these people that we knew, and you know that Johnny, he was in Artane, and Mick was in Letterfrack, and I'm going, oh my God, no, are you serious?
Mm.
And I suppose we kind of got together as a group, and then
yeah.
I started going on radios and asking the Magdalen women to come forward.
And the rest is history, yeah.
And the rest is history.
And Maureen, I really want to ask you this, and I've only read bits of your book so far, but I'm looking forward to reading it in its entirety. And yeah. How do you keep your faith in humanity? Because, I mean, you met between your stepfather and those nuns in the Magdalen Laundry and the people who, various people who abused you. How do you keep your faith in humanity? Because you saw the worst of humanity, really, as a vulnerable child.
Yeah, I think you have to, because there is good people out there. I was very lucky on my travels. I met very, very good people. I have very good friends behind me.
Yeah.
Do I trust? It takes me time to trust people. But if I give up and I have no faith in anything, I think I'm lost.
Yeah,
I have to keep me straight. I'm still in recovery to this day. I'll be in recovery till the day I die.
Yeah, from what you were put through.
What I was put through.
I know.
It was horrific. It was evil. And the nun did apologise to me. I asked her, would she come public with me? You know, to give her fairness as well. And she wouldn't. I understand. She can't. She belongs to the institution and she probably would have ended up in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and she's one particular nun that was in the...
She was one particular nun. She's in charge of the archives
in
the Magdalen. She worked mostly up the north, but she was in charge of the archives, and they were trying to tell me that they didn't have any papers on me, that they didn't know why I was there, and all of a sudden she was able to tell me that I was an abused child.
Yeah, good Lord.
So it's lies like that and their behaviour like that that really... I don't... Anyone can make a mistake in life. We can all make mistakes. But I think if you make a mistake that bad that you come around and you say, sorry, this has to stop. We're going to put this right. Yes, you are here. I shouldn't have had to fight all the years that I did. They were denying that I was in Euros until I find a solicitor said to me, he said, you couldn't be making this up. He said, this is impossible.
Yeah.
And I said, what am I? And I was going to leave it. I said, oh, look, I'll leave it. I said, I can't go back there, so I'm not able for these people. He said, look, don't give up. And he rang me then a week after, and he said, Maureen, where did you make your confirmation? You were too young when you went to New Ross. Did you make your confirmation in Carlow? I said, no, I said, I made it in New Ross. So he said, send down for your confirmation papers, and I did. They sent up the certificate to me. So that's how we proved that I was there.
That you were there, I know.
Yeah.
Listen, Maureen, I know you're under pressure for time, and I don't want to keep you too long, but look, the book is called The Girl in the Tunnel. It's out now.
Yeah.
And you must feel proud too of having told your story, and it must feel good that it's out there and you've put it on record what happened to you.
I am. I'm very proud, and it's my history. That's my history that's in that book.
Mm.
And it's a very important book, and I hope people will read it. And if it saves one child from this ever happening to them again. As I was saying at the book launch, I said to all the women, everybody was there. I said, if you think a child has been abused, it's okay to make a mistake. We want to be wrong. It's great if we're wrong.
Yeah.
But just go and tell someone, look, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm a little bit suspicious. Could you check it out? And if it helps one child, I'm happy.